I am so glad you could join us. I'm your host, Mo Gaudat. This podcast is nothing more than a conversation between two good friends sharing inspiring life stories and perhaps some nuggets of wisdom along the way. This is your invitation to slow down with us. Welcome to Slow Mo. Welcome back. We continue today on our series of love and romance. Coming to an end, actually, we've covered quite a few angles of the topic, but today's guest came to my attention through one of our listeners who pointed my attention to a book called 100 Dates, the psychologist that kissed 100 frogs. We men are frogs, just so that you don't have to. And I thought that was a wonderful experience. My guest today is Angela Ahola, who is a Swedish psychologist, a PhD in psychology, who through her personal life experience decided to document, if you want, that process of dating that puzzles so many of us. She found out quite a bit about what chemistry is, which dates work, which dates don't, what pictures get swiped on and what don't, and quite a bit about that very complex puzzle that we call dating. I immediately reached out to Angela and she was so kind to give me her time today. So we're going to have a conversation about 100 of her dates so that perhaps we can save you a few dates. Angela, thank you so much for your quick reply and for being here. It's such a wild experiment, I have to admit. What made you think of that?
Well, it turned out I became single after a long relationship, a marriage. And after a while, I just started getting the inspiration back again. It took a while before I got it. But once I again became more open and more interested and a bit less sad, I just thought.
How long did that take you?
Oh, well, months, but not years.
This is not too much. I know of people that take a lifetime.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just started one date at a time. So the goal was not 100 in the beginning, but after a while, I just realized I'd been on so many dates. I might as well keep going.
This is a very interesting idea. What is a date in your definition?
A date could be taking a walk together. A date could be a cup of tea or a three-course dinner. A date could be, it can be very simple, but it can be but it always has this goal of meeting up and evaluating if there is some kind of romantic feelings.
Any of the 100 dates got a second date or did they all suck?
Oh, yeah, many.
Okay.
I counted. And do you want to know how many?
Yeah.
Actually, 22 get more than one date.
So you counted everything, right? This is the beauty
yes.
of experience. 22 more than one date. Did any of the 22 get to enjoy being with you for a short while?
Yeah, it's finding love and finding a true match and a truly good person. It's not the easiest. And I really understood that while dating and going on dates.
Yeah.
Well, of course, if we put the bar on the level that's, I guess, not healthy for anybody, then we can find somebody and some kind of match. But I kept going.
Yeah, so let's align on this first, because this is the first time you and I discuss this conversation, this topic. So I am a huge believer that dating is a bit of an economic problem, where if you buy the wrong car, it's not easy to sell the car without a bit of loss and then buy another car. And similarly, if you end up converting a date into a relationship, this is not a process that takes a day or a week. This is a process that normally would take a very long time if the person is the wrong person, right? And so what really attracted me to the concept of 100 Dates, the book, is the idea of not getting to 100, but rather the idea of refusing to be with someone 100 times in a row, right? To have 100 candidates show up, some of them qualify for a second date, 22 of them, as you said, but none of them qualified to be the one, right? that is a very, very interesting approach to dating. In my view, it's actually the top reason why people end up not finding the one is because they get stuck with the wrong one, right? So when you were going out there, your objective was not to research the book. Your objective was to actually find someone.
Yes.
And so you could have ended up finding that person in date 48, and the book would have been called 48 Dates.
Yes.
Okay. So let me begin by asking, why did those who didn't qualify for a second date, in your view, not qualify?
First of all, some of the people I met hadn't the goal of love-based relationship. It could be more temporary encounters. That's like, I'm referring to what people are looking for, the goal.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. Another thing could be that I didn't feel like I could be myself around some of the people, like I couldn't be the best me, the me I wish to be able to be.
Mm.
There were so many different kinds of reasons why it just didn't feel right. So, and I totally agree with you that so many people get kind of stuck with the wrong person, and that hinders them from finding the right one. So we should really be so happy with being single that that we will rather stay single than just be with someone.
I think that's the answer. But then anytime I speak about this to friends or someone who's asking for advice, the first thing they will say is, 100 dates? Are you crazy? I mean, do I have time for this? Is this my full-time job? You know, how do you answer that?
Yeah, it took a lot of time. So that's totally...
How long did it take, actually?
It took approximately 1.5 years. And some days I went on 2 dates. I think there is even one day when I went on 3 dates.
How does that work?
Yeah, it's planning, just planning and trying to manage my schedule.
Okay.
So, it took a lot of time. But I would say writing and swiping, that's what took... even more time, just finding a person who is not there just to find somebody who says hi, handsome, or good morning, just getting the confirmation. So just finding and kind of getting past all those people who are not even looking for someone to meet.
Mm.
That takes a lot of time.
So if you counted everything, how many matches did you get to get on 100 dates?
Approximately 30,000.
No way. 30,000 matches.
Yes.
And how many of those do you think you actually interacted with, like had a message or something with?
Oh, there were a lot, but I don't, that number I don't really have, but there were so many. And so many of these people kind of, even though they get a right swipe on the swiping stage, the swipe turned to a left swipe because maybe they were not responding or writing or asking me something polite, something maybe I felt offended, like the first thing they wrote. Mm. So many people I had to just get past just to get to the next one who was polite and kind. But then when I met them, there wasn't that special feeling. And it doesn't have to be the first time, of course, but a lot of things could get in the way.
So I'm in my business mind now, I'm imagining what is known as a funnel, which is how many leads come into the sales funnel. So basically you have 30,000 people coming in and then 100 of them turning into actual dates, which basically is what, 300 to 1. So out of every 300 likes you got, or 300 interactions you got, you went out with one.
Yes, your mathematics sounds completely correct.
Correct. Okay. So of those 100, again, I think I'm going to be boring people with a lot of mathematics today. 20%, or let's say 22%, ended up getting a second chance.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Here's the trick. Did you go with a list of things? Like, did you have... you were just exploring.
I was exploring, and I had my age range also 18 to 100.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a bit crazy, that part also. So, but I was thinking, I want to experience and I want to see everything that's out there. Okay. So I didn't want to close the door to anything and any like traits or any features, any superficial things. I just thought I want to just see whatever's out there. But of course, I had somewhere in my mind that it's somebody who's also been married, somebody who also has kids as I do. So I had in the back of my mind those kind, but I didn't have a real specific list like this person should be, he should be having this kind of job or having this kind of personality. So no, I didn't. I was pretty open-minded.
That's amazing. Did you enjoy those dates?
Some of them, yes, very much. And they were fun. There was humor, laughter. And some of them, I just felt like, oh, I just want to go home and watch Netflix with, you know, just check, watch my favorite TV series instead of sitting at some bar with somebody who I'm not enjoying the company of. Some people were really having strong opinions, negative opinions, and I wasn't uplifted at all. I just felt like if I felt this happy when I entered the date, I was like here when we finished the date. So some people are just like that.
But that actually constitutes the second biggest objection that people tell me when I tell them you need to go on a lot of dates, is they say, but come on, you know, three of every five dates or like one or two of every five dates are very boring, or they really, really... Okay, so, you know, what do you say to that? Because in an interesting way, it feels like a waste of your time, really, to spend time doing this.
Yeah. Yes. The whole dating process, there are so many levels on, like, we need to make this kind of the good impression on the swiping level, like having the right profile picture, the right bio text. And there is one level of evaluations we make of others, others make of us. The second is, what should we write? So there is also a lot of things that we read in our fellow humans, like, is this person seem, does he seem dominant? Does he seem empathetic? Does he seem, etc.? Like, we make so many, is this equation or calculation we have in our, in the back of our mind constantly? And then, is it the person, are we looking for the same thing? Are we both open to finding the love of our life, or at least somebody that we could like in a real way? So there is, and then of course when we meet, and sometimes the first date is really good, but then the communication between the dates is not working, and that could be like the one of the persons is looking for more fluent or more even communication, the other one wants to just send a text message once a week and wants to meet once a month.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so many different things that can kind of go wrong or can give us indication that the person is not what we would like to find in a person, in a partner.
And in that case, whenever that happened, with a very brave decision, you said, okay, even though it's now 75 people so far, I'm still not going to say yes, I'm going to move on and go to 76.
Yeah. I really felt that because I hadn't found that click, or, and I was open to meeting many of the people, many of the guys, even the second or third time, just to not close the door too early, because there might be something that grows and shows itself later on. But I needed to keep going because I hadn't found what I thought is important to me.
What you were just saying, that sometimes you swipe and then you discover that it's not the right person. Sometimes they swipe for certain reasons on you. And in your book, you discuss a little bit about dating apps, on, you know, some tips about how to make people swipe, what pictures you should have, what you know, what comments you should write. So tell me, how did you improve your profile to the point where you got more swipes, more right swipes? And tell me, what did you see in men's profiles that made you swipe?
When it comes to my own profile, I started off with nothing. And the reason is I was not, in the beginning, I was not like 100% ready to start having a dating app. I was still a little bit hesitant. So I just started with a couple of pictures. And then I added more, I added text. And if the text was very short in the beginning, I extended it by adding more information about myself, something short, some maybe fun fact, and also something about whatever I was looking for. And when it comes to guys dating profiles, I noticed that there were many having nothing. Just as I myself started out in the beginning with nothing on my dating profile, I noticed that so many were there without anything. And that's a pity, because having just something, having like half good pictures, it doesn't do the job always. So often we need something more. And people are looking for something more information, some more information about us. So I noticed the ones I swiped right on, they were more often guys with traits, with texts that indicate empathy, kindness, being an open personality. So I realized I swiped right on those profiles and swiped left on profiles that indicated that there was a lack of these features or personality traits.
Well, my experience was quite interesting. So I have for a long time been trying to write a book about the topic of love and romance. And, you know, I had a very systemic approach to, if you want, dating apps, where you'd be amazed. So to start with, the one thing that I will tell women, being a man swiping on dating apps. So let's call it this way. Let's say that, honestly, being on a dating app is advertising, right? You're basically saying the things about yourself. Sadly, here you are the product that would make someone buy, okay? Sounds really weird, but that's the world we've created. Okay. So to me, advertising meant that the photos told a lot about you. If the photos were revealing, or they were with a lot of fancy goods, branded bags and so on and so forth, you know, revealing was saying, hey, I'm here for a good time. I'm not here for a real relationship, too revealing. And, you know, if they were with fancy goods, it sort of indicated that I am here because I want someone to get me more of the Louis Vuitton bags and so on and so forth. Right. And you know, if the photos were all selfies, that sort of meant to me that the person is very lonely. If they were always with other girlfriends, that basically meant that this is a woman that's maybe not very open to relationships with men, and so on and so forth. When she showed a man in her photos, I got really upset for some reason, even though I know nothing about her. But like, why is there a man there? I think we get really repulsed by men in pictures. So at least that's me. The other thing for me was the amount of attention they put, like you rightly said, in their profiles, right? So to me, someone who has just a couple of words here and there was basically someone that says, you know what? I don't think I'm willing to put in the effort in a relationship, which normally is not the case. Normally what they're actually feeling is probably, I don't want to put in the effort in the dating app because I don't believe in the dating app. But if you don't believe in the dating app, don't be there. If you're there, put in the effort is number two. And my number three, which was really my top turnoff, if you want, is women that wrote what they didn't want, not what they wanted. Okay. So to me, that was so, are you really telling me from before I even met you that you're so annoying? If you're this, don't talk to me. If you're that, don't talk to me. Shorties, don't talk to me. Tall guys, don't talk to me. And if you're this, don't do this. And if you're that, like, seriously, is that really a temptation for me to swipe right on you? And I think the reality is, if you're, sorry for my English, bitchy, before I even meet you, then I'm guessing you're probably going to be very bitchy after I meet you. So I might as well swipe left on that. On the other side, when I actually built my profile, sadly, the word CEO got me a lot of right swipes. Sadly, the word travel the world got me a lot of right swipes. And it seems that the asset of men is normally what they've achieved. That doesn't mean that the right swipes were the swipes I was looking for, but that definitely they were more attractive, if you want. Sorry, I took us on a trip there, but these were my findings.
Yeah, that is so interesting.
Yeah, I think the trick is that we are always conflicted. People who go on dating apps looking for a serious relationship are always conflicted. They sort of like don't feel that the app is going to do it for them, but they're the app on the app anyway, and then they're getting disappointed. I think dating apps are a very weird place to find love, right? But if you're there, you might as well do it right, is what I'm trying to say.
I totally agree. And I think also I get also amazed and puzzled when people write all the things they don't want, all the things they are not looking for. And when they send signals of, or let's say they do things that get them a lot of right swipes. Yeah. But the things that they do to get the right swipes will not be the same things that attract the real love and the real, the person really could make them happy. Correct. And the person that whom they could create a beautiful relationship. So somehow, I guess we humans are partly one explanation might be that we are so afraid of being rejected so that we do everything we can to get all the right swipes. But we don't think like one step further that is this really what I'm looking for? And all those things that signal status and some kind of position, this you mentioned CEO, being some kind of boss, having traveled the world and having these kinds of possibilities. But is that the guy who will have the highest level of empathy? Is that guy the one that will put in the effort in the when the things are not going as smooth as we as they won't go always as smooth as we wish for in a relationship? So is that the guy who will stick, who will work, who will go to couples counseling, who will do all the work that's needed once in a while in a relationship? So when we're doing things on the dating app, we just sidetrack ourselves so many times, and really we're attracting completely wrong.
Yeah, so I mean, you bring up a very interesting point, because on one side, you know, most of the articles you will read will tell you what it is that you need to do to get likes, okay, to get right swipes. But right swipes in themselves are a waste of your time. They're a waste of your life, because in a very interesting way, those right swipes are actually, if they're the wrong person for you, they're wasting your time and they're just gratifying your ego and making you feel that you can, you know, that you're liked, but you're liked by the wrong people. So this is one side. The other side, which I always found very interesting, is, again, I mean, especially photos, because I'll have to be open. If you're on a dating app, I normally would have, I'm not on dating apps anymore. Sorry, everyone. You know, if you're on dating apps, you're likely going to not read every profile. Okay, so men are much more visual. They look at the photos first, if you think about it. And I have to admit, you know, the photos that you put out there are giving me an impression of how you want your life with me to be. Okay, if your photo out there is of you in a bikini on a boat somewhere with other women in bikinis and one, you know, interestingly rich looking man in the back with a glass of wine, you're basically telling me I am not long-term material. I'm here to want to have fun with you, okay? If you put your photos out there traveling the world and so on, then you're basically telling me I'm interested in someone that takes me traveling. If you put your photos in a party, a rave party with music behind you, that's what you're telling me, right? That's what you're, if that's been your life before, I love the ones that put photos of themselves. So it's actually quite regular in the Middle East for someone to have her photo, then her photo standing next to a Lamborghini, then the photo of an expensive bag without her even in it. Like, so this is what a relationship is for you, right? You're looking for items, okay? And I think that advertising needs to be a lot better thought through. Your conclusion in general is, do dating apps work? Do you recommend people to use apps?
I think there is one major benefit with apps, and that's mostly like one and only benefit. It's that we get the chance of meeting people we otherwise wouldn't meet.
Okay.
But there are certain backsides, and one of them is that apps really steer us in the wrong direction when it comes to creating or awakening the psychological phenomenon of choice overload, which means that when we are exposed to a lot of people, like in a looking something that looks like a shop, digitally, dating app.
Yeah.
So we really get the impression and kind of feel like all of these people are available right here to me. And we can't kind of stop swiping because we feel like there might be something better behind the corner. And this phenomenon will also affect us when we enter a relationship, if we do. Because studies show that when we go into a relationship, this choice overload will stay there in the back of our mind and make us imagine and believe that there might still be something better. So it hinders us. The dating apps have this capacity of hindering us to actually find love. So then we should think, okay, this possibility of seeing and getting exposed to the people we otherwise wouldn't be exposed to, which is weighing heavier, all these negative side effects that with choice overload, etc., that comes with dating apps, like in the package of dating apps. Well, which of these will help or hinder me the most? So somewhere we need to just consider all these pluses and minuses.
It's interesting that you say that, because I, you know, when I speak to people, including my daughter, which I love very much, for example, is, you know, who's very conservative about her dating life, you know, she's very selective and so on, is I tell her that, but hold on, a date is not a commitment, and a date is an interesting learning experience. You know, dating is a skill in itself, right? You know, to be able to walk out of an annoying date is a skill. To be able to investigate the things that you like and not don't like is a skill, right? And it's interesting when I say that dating apps is basically a training ground, if you ask me. It's the idea of I meet people who I would normally not meet to broaden my perspective on what is possible and accordingly on what it is that I like in life. Right? I think that there is value in that. But theoretically, that value should come back to me in terms of, and because of that, you know, I don't need to go on so many dates anymore. I now really know what I want. I really know how to get it. And so theoretically, the dates get less. But I'll tell you openly, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, that there were times when when I'm early in a relationship, we're 2 weeks together, but, you know, 2 weeks in, you start to really see things that you didn't see in the first three dates, right? And, you know, you start to feel maybe she's not the one. Yeah, if I had found her on a dating app, the first thing I would do is I would look back at the dating app and say, you know, almost like going back to customer service and saying, hey, by the way, the product you sold me isn't what I was looking for. Do you have anything else that is meeting my expectations? And I have to say, I psychologically, approached this with myself, saying that's not this, these are, you know, human relationships. You might as well not walk out of the store with a product until that product is actually good for you. So you might as well, like you did, you know, 78 of the 100 times, say thank you so much, this was wonderful, and I don't want another date with you. You know what I mean? I think that's a much, if dating apps are used as that training ground with the consciousness of I'm not going to fall for the wrong product, then I think they bring a lot of value. So on the dates you didn't want to go again, how did you handle that?
Many times I just, if the other, either one possibility was that none of us wrote back to each other. And the other possibility was if the other one asked me for a second date, I was just upfront and said, I think I'm going to keep looking, or I'm not, I didn't feel that feeling that I wish for with you. So I think we should just keep looking, and I wish you all the best with some little cute emoji, just to be polite and encouraging. But I wasn't rude. I always want to be, try to be upfront and have kindness, have empathy, and try to be as positive as I can in my dating. So, that's really interesting what you mentioned, that seeing the dating app as a training ground. And it really, I think that's one of the huge benefits or the huge pluses that there are with dating apps, because they teach us to see and experience what traits, like what personalities, what things we value, what things make us happy. So I felt like this when I was on this date with this guy. I felt like that when I was on a date with that guy. So I think it really helps us to exactly know what we are looking for when we have that person in front of us.
Hmm. I agree with that. I think it's not the real world, but it's a very good simulation that allows us to learn about the real world. Is it different in Sweden? Because I have to admit, you know, I think in Sweden, you're a bit more direct. You can tell someone very openly, look, this didn't work out, you know, but thank you for your time. If this was Latin America, for example, oh my God, she would never escape. Like, you know, Latin men don't take no as a no, right? If this was maybe some of the more sentimental or emotional places, Italy, let's say, or, you know, some parts of the Middle East, he would, you know, pursue her with more romance. It's like, you know, but, you know, I love this and I really liked that and maybe another chance and so on and so forth. What would you do then? Would you continue to apologize politely or would you simply say that's it and cut the conversation?
After a while, I would, I think there shouldn't be that much more time spent on something that doesn't feel right. So I think I would be polite, maybe twice more, and then I would just leave the conversation. Like, I've communicated, I've done my part, I've done it in a good, nice way, and now I'm done.
Okay, so forget the process. Did you notice how much the engineer in me was looking at the process of what you did here? So what was the basis of the research? Let's talk about some of the findings. You openly speak about your understanding and learning from that experience around what attraction is, what causes attraction, what chemistry is, and what causes chemistry. Tell me a bit more about that. What did you learn?
Well, I learned, and I've also learned by studies that's been made, that when researchers try to pinpoint or try to combine and match people based on traits, on preferences, on wishes, things that they report, and when they try to like match two people based on whatever they've told to the researchers, it's very, very difficult to match two people based on this. And this means that the chemistry, the attraction is really something that needs to be experienced in real life when we meet somebody. It's more or less such an intangible feature or thing or phenomenon that we just need to feel it when we meet somebody. My experience is also that it's tricky to kind of go based on a paper or a list on like Excel sheet. Like, this is what I'm looking for. This is important. And I should, based on these things that I've written down, I should feel attraction for this particular guy. But it doesn't really work that way. So we need to meet and see how that goes.
I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday about exactly that. It's quite interesting because I have a list. I have a very, very specific list, 10 items on it. And it's quite interesting when you look at my list is not the things that I'm looking for. My list are the things I'm not going to be able to tolerate. So it's so interesting that you're so right about a list that is, I want someone who is this or that, doesn't actually trigger attraction, because on paper, someone could be this or that, but the attraction wouldn't happen. But it's clear for me that there is a need for a list of a no-no. All of the list of the no-nos. It's like, for me, for example, I'm looking for someone who understands my mission, my need for space and time and so on. This was always the top of my list, right? And so the minute I found that someone was intrusive into my private time or demanding or needy or whatever, that would have canceled them immediately. And you know, as I come to find love, I find that with people, you know, someone who is actually very keen on my time and my mission and my, you know, and my space, right? So that idea of a list of don'ts, not a list of do's, I think is what triggers attraction.
That's so interesting. And yes, we should definitely have a red flag list and a green flag list. And as you said, maybe the red flag list is even more important. like what traits and what things in a different another person's personality is really something we can't live with and we don't want to live with. So yeah, that's important.
It really is. And, you know, more and more, I think, again, what attracts me about the idea of 100 dates is that the ability to say no is really what matters most in a date, right? And the ability and the awareness of what makes you say no is really something very valuable. You say there are three types of dates and that one of them should be avoided. What are those?
Yeah, one category is persons who are just looking for a pen pal, somebody to write with. There are many. Somebody who just loves the confirmation, the nice vibe with having somebody who writes good morning, good night, you're looking so good, and hi, beautiful, things like that.
Interesting. Are there yeah. men that are like that too?
Yes, a lot.
Is that it? That's so interesting. I thought that it's more women who are not really ready for relationship and that are just texting away to feel that they're getting attention. So eye-opening, interesting.
Yeah, and it's just, and these people can be, it's kind of tricky to be communicating with them because many times they are just finding different excuses to why they can't meet this week, why next week might be better. And then when next week comes, next week will not even that won't be good. So they're just postponing kind of the date, and they can be very affectionate and very communicating a lot.
Yeah.
And they can be very, there's a good feeling with their communication often.
But then you drop them. How long do you give them?
Sometimes I just keep writing with them maybe 1 week or so, sometimes even less, because if I just, after a while, I get more skilled or more experienced when it comes to dating. So I bring the signals faster. But in the beginning, I was clueless, as most people are. And then just step by step, getting more awareness of different personalities and different styles. And okay, if that person asks for this, oh, it's not going to be a date. That's a red flag straight on, right away from the beginning. Or if a person writes that, oh, well, that's not a good thing.
Okay, so that's one type of date, the attention-seeking texters. That's one group that one should avoid. Okay, other types.
Yeah, one type is the people that are looking for something more short-term, the physical part, and only that.
Okay, I would disagree with that. I would disagree with that. I think these are the wrong group for you, but there are others that are out there to date for the short term as well, right? So I think what matters is, I think the way to state this, just so that we're fair to every listener, is someone that has a different target than you, right? So if your target is a long-term relationship, then that's goal. Amazing. Correct. And if your target is a short-term relationship, that's also fine. It's your choice. But I think what matters is that you're honest and transparent, and they are honest and transparent, so that there is no lying.
Yes, correct. I agree. Okay.
That's group two. Group three.
And the third group is the people that are looking for the same thing as we are. So these three groups, they are based on the relationship goal or the goal that we are having on the dating app. So one is same goal as we, or we could have two groups. One is the people who are having the same goal as I have, and the rest is all the ones who are having a different goal. Yeah. Regardless if we're, the trickiest group, I would say, is the group that are looking for just somebody to chat with, because they can be so affectionate and so loving in their way, so that we mistake them for somebody who we really could create a relationship with if we are looking for a relationship.
Got that. Yeah. I tend to believe that, you know, one of the things that I especially, I think more women than men, is that they fear stating openly what they're looking for, because they believe that this might scare away a possible candidate. You know, I always cite the example of my very dear friend, one of my dearest female friends, who is out there because she wants to start a family. But then every time she goes on a date and I say, did you ask him if he wants to start a family? She would go like, yeah, it's too early. If I tell him that now, he would run away. And I always say, that's exactly the objective. We want him to run away if what he wants is not what you want, right? And I think that's really something that is probably at the top of the list. Okay, let me ask you a last question, which is related to the title of your book. So the title of your book is The Psychologist That Kissed 100 Frogs So That You Don't Have To. Are you saying that our listeners and your readers shouldn't have to go on 100 dates? Is that your recommendation?
Yes, 100 is pretty much and takes a lot of time. Still, 100, it was an adventure and it was a journey. It was a huge learning experience for me. So, but I'm guessing people don't want to definitely aim to helping people reduce the number of dates so that they can faster see who's a match for them, a true match, and who is not. So it's good on going on. It's good to go on dates, but perhaps a few less would be okay too.
Yeah. I will say go on 100, on 50, on 5,000 if you have to. Just don't say yes to someone that doesn't deserve you, right? I think the trick is very straightforward. The concept of 100 dates is really an eye-opening, sort of almost liberating concept that basically says dates are available, they're endless, they are your training ground, so you might as well just go on as many as you need to, as long as you don't end up wasting weeks on someone that doesn't deserve to be with you. I think that's the whole trick. And if you do, you know, all of us, none of us are geniuses to the point where we figure everyone out. But if you do end up with an avid texter a week in, just tell them they're an avid texter and that you don't want to be that person. If you end up with someone that doesn't match your objective, that's, you know, something that you should just say too. I mean, I love the concept, Angela. It's really a very interesting idea. You just submitted another book. What is it about?
This book that's most recently released here in Sweden, it's about infidelity.
And, interesting.
Yes. And it was my most personal book. And it was, I guess, the toughest book for me to write because it had to do with how my marriage ended. And I kind of wrote myself through the crisis, but also it's because I try to find literature that could help me in my sorrow or in my suffering. And it was difficult for me to find books that were exactly what I was looking for. Like, how could I learn? How could I understand what the other person, the person who is choosing unfaithfulness, what's the motives? What's the reasons? Why are people living with infidelity? Not everyone, but the ones who are choosing that path. And I got the huge privilege of following two people. I interviewed a lot of people and I found two people who I like secretly followed as a little fly on their shoulder. And they chose infidelity. And I studied all the research that there is about infidelity and also really could follow these two people. And it was like, it was such a nerve-wracking, exciting. It was horrible. It was interesting. It was fascinating, this journey I took. And we had late night calls because they were just having such a tough time with balancing their two lives. So I got really close to the concept of infidelity, both in the research, but also in real life. So that's my most recent book.
That's incredible. I think that's worthy of another conversation. But if I asked you, what is the top reason do you think people become unfaithful? What would that be?
Mostly, I would say the top reason might be the personality of the unfaithful person. Because there is so many different personality types that are looking for that external, that nutrition or feedback. It's confirmation, adventure, excitement, having the attachment model that's called avoidant. Those people will create distance in their relationship, regardless of who they are living with. So we as partners can, in many, many cases, not affect the course. It's in the hands of the other person. even though there are, of course, possible that there is problems in the relationship that are not addressed and that will lead the other person to seek herself or himself outside the relationship. But often the personality is one of the major causes.
So do you mean that the person that cheats on us was always going to cheat almost, that there are ways to identify a personality that is eventually going to end up finding validation elsewhere? Such an interesting topic. But I think I want to stick with our 100 dates for the topic of today. I think the topic of infidelity actually does require that I build some podcasts about it. For all those who have joined us today, I think my message and Angela's have been very simple. There are lessons to be learned when you date, and those lessons can only be learned when you date. There is nothing wrong with going on dates, by the way. 78 of them, in the case of Angela, ended up with, thank you, that was nice. Some of them ended up with, oh my God, when will this end? But that's fine. 22 of them ended up with a second date or a lovely experience or whatever that is. And I think the idea here is that until you find that the person that you're looking for, no date should turn into a relationship. That would be my absolute recommendation. And Angela, I'm really very grateful for your time today. It's such a lovely and wonderful experience that you shared this. And thank you for your time and conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And for all of you listening, we're still going to have one or two more conversations around love and romance. By the end of the year, we'll be done with this. But I hope that you've enjoyed the series so far. I hope that I've stretched your mind to places where you could go in untraditional directions to find what you're looking for. Whatever it is that you do, I mean, Angela's example is that you give time to what it is that you seek in life. So believe it or not, 100 dates in a year and a half, a lot of attention and a lot of texting, and then, you know, 30,000 prospects. That's quite a lot of effort, and it does require that you give it the time. So I go back always to the idea of slowing down and finding what it is that matters to you in life and spending the time there. Doesn't matter what you're doing today, slow down a little bit and focus on your love life if it is important to you. I love you all for listening, and I will see you next time.